But I'm very cautious about this one thing that I have learned. Beware of victory. Listen, I love victory. I love to walk in victory. But I tell you what, here's the thing that we need to remember. Yesterday's victory, it will not in any way empower you for today's battle.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. Now, I got a question for you. Have you ever considered the amount of damage one person can do when outside of the will of God? Well, in Pastor Bill's study of Joshua today, we'll see how the disobedience of one man caused God to blame the whole nation of Israel. Now, Pastor Bill, with today's message, Achan's Sin.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 7. And we're just going to cover one chapter tonight, even though actually 7 and 8 really do go together. But I think 7 has so many lessons for us to just look at that we just want to cover these 26 verses tonight and look at the sin of Achan, or Achan's sin and so forth. Remember, we left off last time we were together. The walls of Jericho fell down flat. That was the first victory in the land of Canaan for the children of Israel. And what's so sad is they go from that incredible victory to the defeat here at Ai in our text. And what's really sad about it is that Israel's defeat did not come from without. It came from within. Oh, what a tragedy it is when it's your own people that cause you to stumble. Amen? Your own people that get you into sin. So it happened with just one person. And before us is the only battle that they lost in the promised land. And again, it came from within. The church's greatest enemy is not those that are outside the body of Christ. Their greatest enemies are those that are among us, those that are inside the body of Christ. The world can never, ever defeat or divide the church. But boy, can a believer do that? Yes, in a heartbeat. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's begin as we look at Achan's sin. Let's go back to chapter 6, verse 27, and let's begin there. This was after the battle of Jericho. It says, "So the Lord was with Joshua," and look what happened after the battle of Jericho. "His fame spread throughout all of the country." And then in chapter 7, verse 1, look at that terrible, sad word, "But." That means something happened during the Battle of Jericho. It says, "But the children of Israel acted unfaithfully." That's what that word "committed" means. They committed a trespass regarding the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah. Look what he did. He took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Look back at chapter 6, verse 17, and let me read to you. It says, "Now the city of Jericho there," it says, "shall be doomed," or literally devoted to destruction, "by the Lord. And all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and all who are with her in their house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you by all means," listen to what God says, "by all means abstain." That means it's off limits. Don't even go near it. Stay away from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things. And look what the result would be. "And make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver, the gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated," they're set apart, "to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the first fruits of this battle of the land there in Jericho, they all are to be given to the Lord. But we know that didn't happen. We know that Achan committed a terrible sin, a grievous sin to Israel. The word Achan means troubler. And oh, was he a troubler of Israel? Think about it now. Because of one man's disobedience. Just one person. I mean, you're talking about 2 million people at least there with the children of Israel. One person's disobedience caused all the armies of Israel to be defeated at Ai, all because he violated the covenant of God. You know, We know that he took the Babylonian garments, the silver and so forth. And you know, that's more than breaking the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Verse 20 tells us that he literally sinned against God. And he did so by literally taking what belonged to God. Can you imagine being a God robber, robbing God, taking what belongs to him? And what's so interesting, it says that God's anger did not burn against Achan. It burned against all the children of Israel. You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner, just one sinner, destroys much good. And boy, that's exactly what Achan did. You know, God looks at the children of Israel as one body, doesn't he? As one people. And let me ask you another question. Does God look at the church as one body in Christ? Absolutely. Listen to me now. You know, what Achan did affected the entire nation of Israel because, again, God looks at them as one people, his own special people. Well, are we not his own special people? A holy priesthood? Aren't we adopted by God? Our bodies, everything we have, do they belong to the Lord? Are we the temple of the Holy Spirit? Are we the body of Christ? Did you know that what we do as the body of Christ affects one another? Your sin, my sin, our sin, do you know it has an effect upon the body? Just like, you know, if we were sick, if my body was sick, would it affect the whole body? Absolutely. When you have the flu, is there a part of your body that goes, I don't feel anything, I feel great. No, you go, man, I feel lousy. Every part of my whole being feels lousy. Well, you know, we're so used to feeling lousy in the body of Christ. Can I preach that way tonight? That the truth of the matter is we don't even know the discomfort anymore. Because, see, the church really believes that our sin, my sin, your sin, what just affects me. And that is not true. Because, see, we are the body of Christ. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:25 that there should be no schism or division in the body. Because we are members one of another, and we should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, guess what? Everybody is suffering. If one member is honored, then we're all honored and we rejoice with it. Now Joshua, he had no idea what was going on. He didn't realize that Achan had sinned against God. So, you know, remember from the last time we were together that Jericho, in a sense, we could say it represents the world, the battle that we have against this world. But Ai, without a doubt, has to represent the flesh, okay? So here is Israel. They're basking in their very first victory. The walls fell down. I mean, they didn't have to do anything but shout. You know what I mean? God did it all. And now look at this new battle plan, if you will, to take Ai, beginning in verse 2. It says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, and the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up, and they spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, now listen, here's the spy's report. Watch this now. Do not let all the people go up, but let about, 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Don't weary all the people there, for you know what? The people of Ai, they're just a little bit, they're just a few. Well, you know, they didn't even spy the land out correctly because chapter 8, verse 25 tells us that there were 12,000 men and women there in Ai. So what they were saying is, listen, Ai is just a pushover. It's a small hick town. Don't worry about it. There's just a few of them. We don't need all of the army here. No, you know what's wrong with this picture? It's what happens to us when we have a victory as well. All of a sudden, Israel had confidence, not necessarily in God, but they had confidence in self. And oh, do you get in trouble when you have confidence in yourself or in your ability or your wisdom? Oh, church, listen, we need to be so careful with that. You see, it was self-confidence also, besides Achan's sin, that defeated the children of Israel. You know, when Joshua sent out the spies to spy out Jericho, do you remember what the spies said when they came back? They said, oh, Joshua, the Lord God has given us them into our hand. There's no mention of God in our text. There's no mention of them saying the Lord has given them anything at all. And here's the problem about self-confidence, after a major victory especially, is that they overestimated their strength and they underestimated the strength of the enemy. Oh, how often that happens to us as well. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now listen carefully. Here's what I've learned in life, and I'm very cautious. I haven't learned a lot, but I'm very cautious about this one thing that I have learned, and that is beware of victory. Listen, I love victory, don't you? I love to walk in victory. I love it. But I tell you what, here's the thing that we need to remember. Yesterday's victory, it will not in any way empower you for today's battle. Do you understand? If it does anything at all, it'll make you kind of walk a little taller, you know, feel I'm on the mountaintop. Oh, look what God has done. And then after a while, you start thinking that you did it. Come on, we're all guilty of that. No. We have to be careful because, again, yesterday's victory doesn't give us or empower us, give us strength for what lies today. I always look, we had a victory. Okay, let's move forward now. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:10, Paul, what does he tell us? He says, finally, brethren, be strong in your own self. No, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, that's what we need to do. Jesus told us in John 15:5, he says, listen, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me, draws strength from me, lives in union with me, he says, in him bears much fruit. And then Jesus tells us, for without me, you can do nothing. And that is a very true word. So besides the sin of Achan, this whole chapter is one of just being messed up. They had self-confidence, but there's the other thing that I don't find until a little later on when Joshua starts praying. There's not any mention of prayer, not one mention of prayer here. Joshua didn't go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, now what are we going to do with Ai? How do you want to handle it? You know, and here's what I've learned. Like, for example, this past Saturday, 100 of us crossed over a spiritual Jordan into a new land that God is giving us. Amen? And we were 100% successful. I mean, I could only tell you the events. If you were here Sunday, you heard a few of the events, the things that happened, that transpired because they were observing us and they saw the light of the world in action. Amen? Now, but here's exactly what I said. Once I knew we had the victory, especially with schools and people there and other people that I talked with, and I knew that it happened, I said to myself, Bill, now you know what to do. Don't start resting now. Don't ever rest after you have a victory. Don't ever do that. Loved one, listen, whenever victory comes, have you noticed that you feel that you don't need to pray as much as you did before? Am I right? Yes. Always seek God's counsel after a victory. That's like when I was out there, I told Courtney, I told Paul, I said, okay, guys, today was a great day. Now, we can't rest here. We must commit our hearts to pray and find out, now, Lord, what do we do now? We know that the kids' church is coming. Now, tell us exactly what to do, but we won't rest in the victory that we just had. Prayer is the work. It'll always be the work, so we have to leave that behind. It says in Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's counsel, that's what's going to stand. It says in Proverbs 20:18, plans are established by counsel, but by wise counsel, wage war. Alan Redpath, a great man of God, he said this. He says, if you will pray in the time of victory, you will not have to plead in a time of defeat. That's a true word. Listen, had Joshua prayed about Ai, do you think that just maybe the Lord would have told him about Achan? I believe that with all of my heart. But because he didn't, and I'm not condemning him, don't get me wrong, but because of Achan's sin, because of no one praying, because of self-confidence, because the spies said, oh, they're just a piece of cake, they're a pushover, let's just send a few people up there, okay? You know, listen, people are going to die, innocent people. Look at verse 4. So about 3,000 men went up from there, from the people, and look what happened. It says, but Israel fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men. They killed them. For they chased them from before the gate as far as Herbim and struck them down on the descent. In other words, the slope. Therefore, the hearts of the people, meaning Israel, melted and became like water. Boy, isn't it amazing what one day can bring you? Yesterday you were walking in victory, and now all of a sudden you're walking in defeat. Why? Because Ai represents the flesh. And here, what was Israel trying to do? They're fighting them in their own wisdom. They're fighting them in their own strength. And because of that, right there on the slope of the mountain, you have 36 people that died, innocent people that died, and they will never, ever enter into the inheritance that God has given to them. And what's really tragic, loved one, is they died because of one man's sin. Boy, that blows me away. I wonder if Achan, whenever this happened, I wonder if he was thinking in his heart, oh, I know this is because of me. We're not told. But look what Joshua did. We're told what he did in verse 6. Then Joshua, oh, he tore his clothes. He fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord. And look how long he stayed there, until evening. He, the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. They were stunned. They were in mourning and so forth. And Joshua said, after he had been prostrate before the Lord all that day, he said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. You ever blame God for your problems? You ever blame God for your defeat? Don't do that. You know, if we are defeated, it's not God's fault, is it? No, it's our fault, you know? He says, oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? And that's a sermon right there. And for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land, Lord, listen, they're going to hear it, and they're going to surround us. They're going to cut us off or kill us, our name from the earth, or remove us from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? You know, I think there at the very last part of this prayer, I really believe Joshua was more worried about God's reputation than Israel's. But what he really said was, you know, Lord, if they wipe us out, well, what are you going to do because we're gone? How are you going to raise up your great name and let it be continually glorified if we're your people, if we're not here? And look what the Lord said after this wonderful prayer. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Do you see that exclamation mark? That means get up. You know what I mean? And he said, why do you lie on your face? God is rebuking him, saying, you know, Joshua, this is not a time to pray. You should have been praying about Ai a long time ago, right? He's saying, listen, now's a time for action because there's a problem. There's sin in the camp. He says, look, Israel sinned, not Achan, Israel, all of Israel, because of one man. One man's disobedience. And they have also crossed the line. In other words, transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken some of the accursed things. In other words, that belong to the Lord. Isn't that funny? They did it? No, it was Achan that did it. But as far as God was concerned, all of Israel did it. And he says here, and look what they've done. They both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it, or literally hidden it, among their own stuff. So one sin by one man affected the entire nation. Does that seem fair to you? No, that doesn't seem fair to me. Lord, I didn't do anything. I was out there ready to fight. I didn't hide anything. I didn't steal anything. But God says, no, you're all in covenant together. You all belong as one family and so forth. But you know what's foolish? How foolish is it to think then or even today that a person can rob God and completely get away with it? God says, you know what? Everything that I have promised you right now is on complete hold. In other words, you can't have any victory at all. You are at a standstill. And therefore, the children of Israel, look what it says, could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies. And it tells us why. Because they have become, they weren't always that way, but because of what happened at Jericho, the taking of the booty, in other words, the stuff there, they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore. That's a sad scripture. Unless you destroy the accursed thing from among you. So God says, get up, set apart the people or sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Because thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. In other words, there's sin in the camp. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And thus it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. And then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire. He, all that he has, look at the reason, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Isn't that an odd way to do something? Not that I'm in any way saying what God was doing was not perfect, but when we look at it, I mean, look at the process here. God says, you know what? I'm going to call out the tribe. Then I'm going to call out the family. Then I'm going to call out the household. Then I'm going to get right down to the individuals. I wonder why God just didn't simply say, Joshua, it's Achan of the tribe of Judah. He's the one that took it. Why didn't he do that? Why was it this long, time-consuming process, if you will? You know what I believe in my heart? I really believe that God is a merciful God. And I believe that God is always, and he is always, and will always be a good God. And I think, you know, even though Achan did what he did, a disgraceful thing, he broke the covenant of God, that God was right here, I believe, giving Achan time, an opportunity, if you will, to repent, to get right with God. So Joshua, it says in verse 16, he rose early in the morning and he brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi, or what, was taken. And then he brought his household, man by man, and here it comes, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now, you know what that tells me? You can't hide from God. No man, no person can hide from God. You know why? Because our God, he's more than just omniscient. He is omnipresent, isn't he? The omnipresence of God. Listen, it means that God is everywhere present. Everywhere. There's not a place where God isn't. Amen? He knows everything about everyone, everything that they're doing. It says in Jeremiah 23:24, God says, can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I'm going to tell you, whenever God started picking out the tribes and it got down to Judah and so forth, do you think that maybe Achan, his knees started knocking a little bit? I mean, mine would. I mean, it must have been terrifying. And here's my question. Why didn't Achan just run out there immediately when they said the tribe of Judah and just say, you know what? You know, I'm going to repent. I'm going to fall on the mercy of God. And surely, had he done that, perhaps he would have been forgiven by God. But what troubles me is that Achan remained silent during the entire process until he was actually caught, selected by God. You know what's really tragic about this text? Is that there was a point in Achan's life where it became too late, where forgiveness could no longer be found. That's a tragic place to be, isn't it, loved one? And I say, oh, Lord. And now Joshua said to Achan, look how tender this is. He said, oh, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession to him and tell me now, what have you done? And do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, well, indeed, I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. There's no sorrow there that I can see. There's no remorse. Matter of fact, the only thing that he's sorrowful about, I believe, is because he got caught.
Well, once again, we're short on time, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion to this message. We appreciate you listening to Love Never Fails today. and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.